thank the Lord for the privilege of presenting another Way of Truth broadcast. This is Alvinor Craig speaking, and this broadcast service originates in the radio studios of the Church of God in Hagerstown, Maryland, United States of America. We're thankful that you're tuned our way, and we invite you to stay with us, trusting the Lord will make our broadcast a blessing to you.
I guess we should pity the man in this world who must use the earth for a bed. And I guess we should pity the man who must toil from dawn till dusk for his bread. But these can be rich if they have contentment and share in God's salvation plan. If you know any who, though they have plenty, are lost, then pity the man. Pity the man who has treasures to hold, and he holds not the pearl of great price. Pity the man, though he lives long on earth, and he knows not the giver of life. Doctor or lawyer, traveler or merchant, builder who builds on the sand, pauper or king to be saved, if he's lost, then pity the man. I guess there are those who pity the saved, as though they were missing life's best, forgetting that treasures of earth pass away, and heaven's the place to invest. Meanwhile, the scheming, the man who is scheming to hold all the wealth that he can, but if while he's living to God he's not giving his soul, then pity the man. Pity the man who has treasures to hold, and he holds not the pearl of great price. Pity the man, though he lives long on earth, and he knows not the giver of life. Doctor or lawyer, traveler or merchant, builder who builds on the sand, pauper or king to be saved is the thing. If he's lost, then pity the man.
Brother Roger Hood singing for us, Pity the Man. Jesus said that this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom He has sent. Regardless of your earthly treasures, if you do not have Christ, then indeed pity the man. Heavenly Father, we thank You today for the privilege of presenting this gospel broadcast to this precious people. And though they are unseen to us, we know that You have Your eye upon every one. You see them, You love them, You care for them, and You're able to meet their needs, whether it be physical or spiritual. So we pray that You'll minister to this precious people today through this broadcast, through Your love, and through Your Spirit. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, I'd like to invite you to visit our webpage, where you can listen to a number of our broadcast services at any time during the day or night. Also, our monthly Way of Truth magazine. In fact, a number of the issues of the magazine are posted on our webpage. And our webpage address is www.wayoftruth.org. www.wayoftruth.org. And now Brother Brad Crooks is going to sing for us What You're Going to Tell Him.
The preacher told about His love, about His saving grace, of how He came from heaven at Calvary, took my place. He said He gave His life for me and died there in my stead. And as I turned to walk away, this is what the preacher said: What you gonna tell Him when you see Him face to face? Will you say you refused His love? He didn't take your place. What you gonna say, my friend, when He looks your way? What you gonna tell Him on Judgment Day? I left the church that evening, not knowing what to do. The preacher's voice was in my ears. I knew each word was true. I knew someday I'd meet Him, and that His face I'd see. The words of the preacher man kept coming back to me. What you gonna tell Him when you see Him face to face? Will you say you refused His love? He didn't take your place. What you gonna say, my friend, when He looks your way? What you gonna tell Him on Judgment Day? We never know the day nor hour when He shall come again. And if by chance we're called away before time shall end, before that great and final day, decide, friend, what you'll do. The words of the preacher man I now ask of you. What you gonna tell Him when you see Him face to face? Will you say you refused His love? He didn't take your place. What you gonna say, my friend, when He looks your way? What you gonna tell Him on Judgment Day?
Our subject for this broadcast, God's Questions to Adam. And I'll read from Genesis chapter 3, verses 9 through 11. And the Lord God called unto Adam, and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? We can learn some valuable lessons from the story of Adam and Eve, and especially as recorded here in the first part of the book of Genesis. At first, as we read in the first part of the book of Genesis, we find that Adam and Eve were in a beautiful paradise, and they had close communion with God. God came down in the cool of the evening and fellowshiped with them, and they enjoyed God's fellowship. And both of them, God and man, had communion one with the other. However, all of that was lost when they sinned. And I would like for you to consider with me today three questions that God asked Adam. The first one is, Where are you? God knew, of course, where Adam was, but he wanted Adam to take an inward look at himself. And this is something that every one of us need to do. Yes, let each one of us apply this question to ourself. Where are you? Where are we? Where am I? We may be in one position, and I'm speaking from the spiritual standpoint. Some may be in one position, and some be in another. But God knows what our position is. And just as he said to Adam, Where art thou? So he would say to each one of us, Where are you? Where are you in your relationship with God? Are you a Christian? Are you a child of God? Are you a part of the family of God? If not, why not? And as the song we just listened to asks, what you're going to tell him when the judgment comes? You need to be saved. You need to be in Christ. Adam had been in the Lord. He had had fellowship with God, but he disobeyed God. He sinned and died, thus was separated from God. I know there are some people say that once you have spiritual life, you can't lose it. But, beloved, Adam had spiritual life, and he lost it. And he lost fellowship with God, and he was separated from God, and he was driven out of his beautiful paradise, his beautiful garden home. So where are you today? Where are each one of us today? How is our standing before Almighty God? I do not say this to accuse. I say this to provoke thought, to consideration. Again, are you a Christian? If so, are you being faithful in your Christian duties? Are you letting your light shine? Are you warring a good warfare? Yes, it is a warfare. Weapons of our warfare are not carnal, true enough, but we are in a warfare, and God has provided for us an armor, a helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, a breastplate of righteousness, our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, the shield of faith whereby we can quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. So are you warring a good warfare? Are you fighting the good fight of faith? Are you growing in your Christian experience? We are to grow in our Christian experience. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, and growing in our Christian experience as we travel the highway of holiness. Now, sometimes people say they are not sure just where they stand. And that's a sad state, really, to be in, because the gospel enables us to know if we will face reality. The gospel enables us to know where we are. But some people will tell you they don't know whether they are saved or not. They don't know just where they stand. They hope they're all right, and they hope that they have joined church, or they've done this, or they have done that. But I believe God has made it possible for us to know. Yes, Satan tries to bring doubts, and he causes, or would like to cause us to question our experience, but the Scriptures declare that we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. And if we have life, we certainly should know it. Yes, if we have life, we should certainly know it. And I'm speaking again about spiritual life. And remember, Jesus said, "This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, whom God has sent." Jesus Christ, of course. Now, these questions are not to condemn, I say, but they are to provoke, they are to challenge, because the Scriptures teaches us to examine ourselves to see whether we be in the faith or not. We need to give ourselves an honest test from time to time, an honest examination. And if we see we're coming short in some point, then we need to work on that we might be able to strengthen ourselves and grow in our Christian experience. And so these questions are not to condemn, but to provoke and to challenge, that we might be able to examine ourselves and be what God would have us to be. Now, the second question that God asked Adam was, "Who told you that you were naked?" Before Adam and Eve sinned, they were innocent. After sinning, they knew they were naked. People who have a knowledge of good and evil should know whether they are naked or not. We read in the 7th letter, recorded in the 3rd chapter of the book of Revelation, where the Lord challenged the Laodicean people to buy of him gold tried in the fire and white raiment so that their nakedness not appear. And of course the Lord was speaking from the standpoint of their soul and their spiritual state, because Laodicea was a well-off city, and the people there had quite a bit as far as economics were concerned. And he was not talking about them not having a garment, a literal garment on. He was talking about their spiritual state. And so I am speaking from the standpoint today. People who have a knowledge of good and of evil should know whether they are naked or not, whether they have on the white robes of righteousness, or whether they are in sin. I counsel thee, according to the Scripture in Revelation 3:18 that I just referred to, I counsel thee to buy me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. So God intends for us to see. He intends for us to know. He intends for us to understand where we are. And he has provided for us a positive, definite experience of salvation, and he enables us to know that we have such an experience. Now let us look at the first part of the question. Who told you that? When people tell you Christians continue to sin, who told you that? We read in Romans 6:1-2, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? So when people tell you Christians continue to sin, who told you that? Not the Word of God. When people say we must keep the old covenant, who told you that? So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. So the Apostle Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 4, verse 31. He gives us an allegory there of Abraham's two wives and his two sons. Hagar was an Egyptian slave, and she was the mother of Ishmael, and she symbolized and represented the old covenant. Sarah was Abraham's lawful wife, and she was the mother of Isaac, which symbolized and represented the new covenant. And that's what Paul is talking about here in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 31, when he said, "So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, which was Hagar in the old covenant, but of the free, which was Sarah and her son Isaac, symbolizing the new covenant." And so you do not have to keep the old covenant. Now, there's a lot in the Old Testament that's just as pertinent today as it was when the prophets wrote it. I'm talking about the old covenant that God gave the nation of Israel there on Mount Sinai. And part of that covenant was the Ten Commandments written on the stones. Now, who told you that you must join a church? Who told you that? Who told you that you must have a church home? Well, we're told in the book of Acts, chapter 2 and verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. And we read in Psalm 87, 5 and 6 about Zion, "It shall be said of Zion, this and that man was born in her, and the Lord shall count when he writes up the people that this man was born there." So you're not to join a church. Any church that you can join is not God's church. And I say that in compassion and love, not to, again, criticize or to find fault. But you cannot join God's church. The only way that you can become a member of God's church is by spiritual birth. You must be born into the family of God. So who told you that you must join a church? The Bible doesn't tell you that. Who told you one religion was just as good as another? The Apostle Jude tells us in Jude 3 that we are to contend earnestly for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Yes, the faith was once delivered to the saints, and it was not delivered 600 years later or 2,000 years later. It was delivered to the saints during the time that the apostles lived. And that's the faith that we are to contend for. The Apostle Paul tells us in Ephesians 4 that there is one faith, just like there's one God and one Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus himself told us in John 14 and 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." So who told you Christ was not the only way to be saved? Christ said, "No man can come unto the Father but by me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." There's only one name given under heaven among men whereby we may be saved, and that name is Jesus Christ. Now, who told you that Christ was not divine? Who told you that he was just a good prophet or just a good man? Nothing more. The Bible doesn't tell you that. God doesn't tell you that. Certainly not. The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ was the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the word Emmanuel means God with us. And so Christ was indeed and is divine. He is from everlasting to everlasting. And according to the Apostle John and the Apostle Paul, all things were created by Christ, and by him all things consist. And he was before all things. So he is indeed divine. Who told you that he was not resurrected? Who told you that he's still in the grave? Or that his body decayed? No, indeed, if there be no resurrection, then there's no salvation. So on that third day, the stone was rolled away, and Christ came forth triumphant over death, hell, and the grave. Who told you he is not coming again? Jesus Christ himself said, "I will come again." But he's not coming to set up a literal kingdom. He's already set up his kingdom. He's coming to judge the world in righteousness. Now, who told you he was coming to set up a literal kingdom? Not God. Jesus said that the kingdom of God is within you. The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presses into it. Now, the third question, have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you not to eat of? God knew Adam had eaten, But he wanted Adam to see his sin. He wanted Adam to realize and to know that in eating the fruit of the tree that he had told him not to eat of, that was sin. When you knowingly and willingly transgress the law of God, that's sin, imputed sin, and it brings death. It brought death to Adam and Eve, and it brings death yet today. When people knowingly and willingly transgress the law of God, that brings spiritual death, that brings separation from God. Now, getting people to face their sins is not always easy, but God was endeavoring to get Adam to face his sins, to face his present condition, to face his present state. For if he was not willing to face his present state, he was not willing to do anything about it. And so the same is true today. If a person will not admit that they are an unsaved soul, they'll never admit that they need a Savior. So we need to face reality, and we need to admit where we are. A person will never be saved until they admit their sin. Adam tried to blame Eve, but that didn't work with God, and will not work today. David said, whenever he was confronted by the prophet Nathan about his sin, David said, "I have sinned." And that's what everyone must do, face reality and admit. We were all sinners at one time, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's why Jesus Christ came into this world, died upon the cross of Calvary, so that we could be saved from our sins. True godly sorrow is necessary. Otherwise, we will never be forgiven. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. But the sorrow of the world worketh death. So Paul said in 2 Corinthians 7:10. Let each one of us ask ourselves, where or how do I stand before God? If you have eaten the forbidden fruit, stand before God a sinner. Why not seek him now? For Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Confess your sins confess your faults one to another, and also confess your sins to God, and he will forgive. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Jesus Christ stands ready to save you now. Father, bless these thoughts to our precious congregation. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If our broadcast has been a blessing to you, it would be an encouragement to us to know. Our mailing address, The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. Our email address, truth@fred.net, truth@fred.net. Our webpage address, www.wayoftruth.org, www.wayoftruth.org. Now, this is Alvin A. Craig. Thank you for listening to our broadcast. We invite you to be with us next week when again we come your way with another Way of Truth broadcast.
If you own the riches of this world, if you had great treasures untold, what
Bye.